Welcome to Knitting a Story, a podcast by two crazed knitters. I'm Jen.
And I'm Lex.
And welcome to our story pod, friends. Episode 23, Tweed Hat for a Giant.
And how? So on this episode, we've got Off the Needles, Show Me Your Knits, When Good Knitting Goes Bad, Stuff I'm Watching on the Internet, and Got Spinning.
Sounds good. Do you want to start Off the Needles?
Off the Needles. So I made a hat. My brother requested a hat over Christmas. He lost the one that I made him previously.
Okay.
Which, you know, it sucks on the one hand that he lost it, but at least he was using it in order to lose it.
Absolutely. I'd rather them lose it than... It's too precious.
And he requested a replacement one, so that's all good. He was a little afraid I wasn't going to do it for him because he lost it. I was like, yeah, no big deal. So I made him a... The pattern is Jason's Tweed Hat. It's on Ravelry. It'll be linked in the blog.
Free pattern?
Free pattern. Super easy. Like, it's really not a hard pattern, but I like it because then I don't have to do the math of the decreases and stuff, right? I can just follow the pattern, which is...
And is this the same pattern that you used before for him?
For his before, I used a different pattern, and it was like... It was basically being in ribbing hell.
Oh.
It was entirely ribbed, the entire hat. So this one isn't. It's got a ribbed brim, and then it's stockinette. So.
Okay. Is the original one out of sock yarn? Was it you that made a hat for somebody out of sock yarn?
No, it was like sport.
Okay.
It was gray and black. It was a variegated. It was alpaca, and I was knitting that thing forever.
Oh, man.
Forever. So this time I was like, no, I'm going to knit in bigger yarn. I've learned from my mistakes of the past. Ha ha. I'm going to make him one out of bigger yarn. It's not going to take me as long. He'll get it when it's still cold and he can use it.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And I made it out of Lion's Brand
yarn.
It was just a bulky, mostly acrylic, a little bit of wool and some nylon.
Okay. So nice durable hat then.
Yeah.
And so I have finished. I can't remember if I started this last week or not, but I might have actually started it since the last time we podcast. I did a bandana cowl.
Excellent.
To match my... And I'm wearing it.
And it's matchy-matchy.
Everybody can see on the internet.
Yes. It's purple.
It's purple. And it matches my star-crossed ouchie beret hat.
I'm very surprised by this.
I know. Matchy-matchy. And I love... It's out of the bandana pattern and... A bandana cowl, and I can't even off the top of my head remember who the author is, but we'll link it. But it is an awesome pattern.
Is it?
Yeah, like, I think I did it in one day.
That's just a little bit more. That's pretty sweet.
And it's got to be maybe worsted weight. Yeah, I think it's worsted.
It looks worsted. Is that the stuff that we bought at the Loop together that one day?
Yeah, I did. I think I bought three skeins of it. I have another skein hidden, which I think will eventually be mittens.
And then you can be the super matchy-matchy.
I know.
And we'll have to take pictures and be like, this is what a matching knitter looks like. And then we'll take a picture of me and be like, this is what the crazy cat lady of knitters looks like.
I know. My mittens with the little thumb holes, they're purple, kind of, but... This is kind of like a midnight purple, and my other ones are like a really warm toned purple, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But it's screaming cold here in Calgary lately.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do to stay warm. Like, there's... The fashion police don't care.
I know.
And if they do, I would like them to come up to Calgary and say that to us.
Well, it's been kind of a funny winter, hey? Like, the east coast of the U.S. and Canada has just been annihilated with snow.
Yep.
And in Calgary, we got a lot of snow before Christmas, but really, knock on wood, none since then.
Yeah, not. Well, we've had like a light dusting here and there,
but
in
cold.
My neighborhood. Well,
but
it's
cold.
Been really, really cold.
Like, I was thinking to myself today, I was like, I wonder what it's like in the Southern Hemisphere when what we associate as winter in the Northern Hemisphere is, you know, Christmas, it's cold, and in the Southern Hemisphere in Australia, they're like, it's Christmas, let's go to the beach.
Oh, it's funny you mentioned that, actually. I've got a girl on my Facebook that I know through my husband, and she lives in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So she's always posting, like, oh, I just harvested my strawberries. And I'm like, it's freaking January. What strawberries? And I'm like, oh, yeah, New Zealand.
Yeah.
It's their summer. So, yeah, it's a little weird.
Does she come from Canada?
Yes. Okay. My husband grew up with her.
So...
She has an awesome blog. I should link that all. Yeah,
link her blog. That'd be sweet.
Her name is Tracy Pepper.
So, coming, like, I grew up in the Okanagan, and they get not as severe winter as we do.
Yeah.
And my internal clock says, you know, it's winter right now, March is spring, I've had a sunburn in April. And in Calgary, that is not the same.
Sometimes March is spring for about a day, yeah, and then it's like
snowstorm,
bitterly cold for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
And I've always said that, because I grew up on the East Coast, right? And the East Coast has pretty defined
seasons,
right? Yeah. March is usually pretty cold in the East, because I remember whenever Easter was in March, it was pretty chilly out there. But, you know, April is about the beginning of spring. Here, it's like winter, 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 spring for like a week, summer.
Yeah.
And then winter.
Yeah, it's like spring and summer don't exist here. No. Or sorry, not spring and summer. Spring and fall.
The shoulder seasons are very small.
But I guess it's thankfully bringing it back to knitting is thankfully being knitters.
At least we have a long winter.
We have a long winter, and we're much appreciated by the recipients of our hand knits.
This is true, especially my brother.
Unless you're my mother, who says nobody wears hand knits anymore. And I say, guess who's not getting anything?
But she doesn't live in Calgary.
No, that's right.
I bet she'd change her tune.
I know, just
tell her to come out for a few months.
Yeah, come out
in
for
January.
A week. I know, hey? Yeah. So, people in the Southern Hemisphere, we're so jealous right now.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so show me your knits. What are you working on?
I'm still working on my Hopwood pullover. So, I took your advice last time, and I ripped that sleeve out so fast. It was very cathartic and also very scary. And then I did the collar, so that I would know how much yarn I had left over after the collar. Reasonable. So I did the collar, I bound the collar off, and I've started again on the sleeves. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to have enough for full-length sleeves. I'm going to add an extra band around the sleeves, around the wrists of the collar work.
Okay.
Just to make it a little bit longer, because I like my sleeves longer than shorter. And I think it'll be okay, because I've got an entire skein left, and I've got about half a sleeve done already.
Okay, so when you say you're going to add an extra band, are you going to do, like, colorwork band, band of the pumpkin, colorwork band, and then cuff?
No, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do, because it goes pumpkin, and then it goes colorwork band three times, and then pumpkin for the rest. I think I'm just going to do four colorwork bands and call it a day.
Yeah, so that's not too bad.
I think it'll be all right. I think it's going to be okay.
Well, worst comes to worst, you only have to rip it out till you hit the color work, and then just add an extra repeat or two.
Exactly. So it's not a terrible thing to redo. And I think I'll be okay, because I've got an entire skein left, and I only had about half a skein for the first half of the sleeve. So
is this the first time in your life you've wished you'd had shorter arms?
No, because worst comes to worst, I'll just make them 3/4 sleeves. Not a big deal.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
No biggie.
Yeah, because, Calgary, 3/4 length sleeves. Actually, 3/4 length sleeves are pretty sweet. If you consider, when I wear my hoodies with my mittens, I somehow have to make my mitten cuff fit inside the cuff of my sweater.
So you're saying this could be like a way to avoid that?
Yeah, you could do matching gauntlets.
I don't have enough yarn for matching gauntlets. I could do it out of the color work, I guess. Yeah. Like the colorwork colors. And then they're coordinating but not matching.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know, I don't know how you feel about this coordinating versus matchy debate.
I do like coordinating.
So anyways, the Hopwood Pullover is by Woolen Bricks. It's a nitty pattern.
It's so free then, which is nice.
It's free, which is nice, yep.
And is it written well for being a free pattern? Because sometimes, you know, you get what you pay for.
It's not too bad. I had a little bit of trouble figuring out the way she was writing it, because it's not at all charted, because it's a sweater, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know if I'm doing this right, just for the starting of the collar, when you start the body.
Okay.
And then basically what happens is you come back and you pick up stitches and do the rest of the collar, because it's sort of like a cowl.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was like, I don't know, like, I think I'm not sure if I'm doing this right, but I just went with, I did exactly what the pattern said and not what I thought the pattern was trying to tell me, and it worked out fine. So sometimes, you know, it pays to just trust the pattern, and in this case, that's what it was.
So would it be a good pattern for a newer knitter, assuming you're willing to trust the pattern?
If you're willing to just do exactly what you think the pattern says, yeah, it's a stockinette pattern. It's not super hard, and the color work, even the way she explains it, is pretty easy.
Okay.
I had no problems with it.
Just because I'm...
You could do it, Jen.
Oh, I know, right?
You could make a sweater. You could you could also have a pullover.
Oh, God, I wish. I am so jealous of people that can knit garments.
You can do it.
I know.
I believe in you.
I'm going to pull out my February Lady sweater that I started.
You just got to finish.
I just... Because I was thinking, I think to get gauge, I had to go down to like a 3-millimeter needle or something like that.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't really want to knit a sweater on 3-millimeter needles.
What you need to do is find a bulky sweater pattern that you like and knit it bulky. And then you don't have to, like, even if you use smaller needles, it's still a bulky wool.
Yeah.
It'll still go quick.
Yeah, because I think that's probably my problem is that to me, the sweaters seem onerous, right? Whereas...
I'll be knitting this forever.
I know. Whereas with socks are like thousands of stitches and it's like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, when you think about it that way, like, socks are way more of a stitch investment.
Yeah, for what you're going to get out of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, yeah, you know, that's
just
right.
Just do it, come on.
I just need to do a bulky sweater or something.
Yeah.
I'd have to actually buy bulky yarn.
Well, come on. I hear there's this place out there that you like to buy yarn from.
Yes, there are a couple of places. A couple of places.
You know, that could happen. I'm just saying. So, the other thing I'm working on is that baby blanket.
The crochet?
The crocheted one, yes.
You're such a hooker.
I am. And let me tell you, I've done a couple of the different stripes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a crap ton of ends to weave in at the end of this project.
Oh, I weave in as I go.
I'm going to start to have to do that because I looked at it and it's just like a mess. I'm like, ugh.
Unless you added tassels.
On one then, end of them?
No. Yeah, you'd have to add them to both, but you could incorporate it. But I think the work of adding tassels would be more than the work of actually weaving in the ends.
Yeah, I think weaving in the ends is the better idea. So I've started working on that now.
That's sweet. And how do you like the crochet now that you've, you know...
It's different.
Got a step into
it. It's definitely different. And I just don't like the fact that if I notice I made a mistake the row previous, my two choices are... somehow fake it and just pretend it never happened or rip everything back. Like, there's no just, I'll just drop this stitch and pick it up and it'll be okay. It's like, am I just gonna, can I fake this? Is it gonna look okay if I fake it? Or do I have to rip back all of this work?
Yeah. So, I never thought of that being a problem. Like, because my original craft was crochet, I always thought of it as I only have to deal with one stitch. You know, and...
Which is nice. If your hook falls out in the middle of a project...
You're good to go.
You're good to go. You just pick it up.
But if there's a problem... Yeah, I never thought about with knitting.
But if there's a mistake back, man, like, you have to really make that decision. So far, I've made the decision of I'm not ripping this back.
Just make sure you don't give it to another knitter or crocheter that'll be like, this is obviously an error.
Yeah, I won't be doing that. I'm just going to be like, yeah, whatever. It's just, it's good to go.
This is for your baby. It can poop on it and it's okay.
Yeah.
It'll wash.
Yep, it's acrylic. Enjoy.
That's sweet.
But I'm enjoying the crochet aspect of it. Like, it's very, it's just different, you know? Yeah. It's just a neat, different thing.
It's a new skill, right?
Yeah, I feel accomplished when I'm crocheting it.
Actually, after you talked about crocheting last week, I've actually been thinking about crocheting again. Just because I did it for so long, my hands kind of itch for that, you know? Like, but at the same time, I'm right-handed. I learned to crochet from a left-handed crocheter. Yeah.
So everything's all twisty.
Everything's actually backwards. My stitches are perfect, but they're backwards.
Oh, who cares? Whatever.
And it tends to throw my arthritis off. I think because of the small, repetitive stitches.
Oh, that could be it.
Because I'm a picker, right? So my hands don't move very much, but the way I hold my crochet hook, it's just, it's a hot mess when I do it.
You just need
to beautiful.
Do big crochet, then. Just get some bulky yarn and crochet a sweater. Might as well, at this rate.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of ends to weave in.
But
it's
good.
It's neat.
Do you think you'll do another project when you're done?
I think I'll take a hiatus.
Yeah.
Because this project is, like, just getting bigger and bigger, but not getting big enough.
Oh.
You know? Like, it's just taking forever.
Just think if you were knitting it, how long it would take
to knit it. Yeah, I wouldn't knit this.
I know.
I've decided that.
Baby blankets and crochet are awesome because they go fast.
Next time I will pick a bigger yarn, though. I will follow my own advice and pick a bulkier yarn because let me tell you, this fingering weight
Yeah.
Crocheting is for the birds.
Do you know off the top of your head what size of hook you're using?
Small.
Small, hey? Like, yeah, if you're using fingering, it's going to be small.
It's like a... I'm going to go with a 3.5. Does that exist? I'm going to say it's a 3.5.
Yeah, I think in crochet hooks, they usually go by letters.
Yeah, I don't know what the letters.
I'm sorry, it makes no sense to me.
It's all downstairs right now, so...
Yeah. That's awesome, though. Good on you for, you know, woo! Going for that goal for the year.
Yeah, trying. What have you
I'm working on the Hitchhiker that I started just before the last time we podcasted.
Oh, yes.
And that's in the, I think it's in Shibui.
Isn't it the green and yellowy,
bluey? Yeah, blues and greens, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, like, the Hitchhiker pattern is just, it's a good pattern, and I'm not sure if anybody can tell, but I'm, you know, kind of been sick for the last week.
She's so out of it.
Yeah. If I start coming off like a crazy person, I blame it on the cold.
Yeah. I agree.
And so it's a really nice pattern that you can just, you know, if you're not feeling 100%, you can just pick it up and you can work on a row and you can put it down and you're not worried about it. You can put it down halfway through a row and you're still good.
You'll be able to figure it out when you get to the important part.
Yeah, like once you start reading the knitting and have a rhythm for it, it's a really awesome pattern. And it really does... I'm not a big person for pooling and flashing and stuff like that. And I'm getting a little bit of that happening with the Shibui, but it's...
It's a simple pattern, it so really even is. If it pools and flashes, it's not really detracting from the pattern.
Yeah, and it's not making it look, oh, geez, it's so busy. You know? It's not too much. It's very beautiful. I totally recommend anybody doing it.
And you're putting beads on that one?
I am.
And how are you enjoying the beads? Is it really doing what you wanted it to do?
It really is, like, because I wanted to do beads, but I didn't want to get into a huge bead project.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you just need a brain break, you just want speed. Stockinette, right, yeah. You know, garter stitch, speed. And it's only every 8 rows I plop a little bead on there and I'm good to go. That
doesn't slow you down very much then.
And then I put the little bead on and I'm like, yee, a bead! And then I look at the sparkle and then I'm like, okay, now back. On to the next one, right? Because you're getting that tiny little reward each time you do this tooth, the little bead, and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I like about that kind of a pattern, because I like beads. But when I have to add a bead, like, every second or third stitch, man, it gets old quick.
It does.
I mean, it looks beautiful. I love the way it looks at the end.
Yeah.
But what you say, you know, just add a little bit of je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, just a little, sparkle.
Yeah.
You know, without being too much. Because the beads I chose are clear glass ones with... Oh. Like the really shiny silver on the inside, so
So there's a lot of
there would be a lot of oomph.
Like dewdrops.
Yes, yes,
like dewdrops on lily pads.
Yeah, and just a little sparkle in a blue sparkle.
Little pond.
Actually, one of the new girls at knitting that was there last week, she had started a Hitchhiker as well, but she used sparkle yarn, and she's like, "Oh, you put beads on yours? I love that!" And I'm like, "Oh my god, your yarn has sparkles!
Yay, sparkles! I love that! I love sparkle yarn."
Yeah, so and it's a beautiful pattern, even you know if you've got something with sparkle in it, because it just gives it a little something without being too much, you know. Yeah.
So if you have some busy yarn, you can use it for that pattern because the pattern is simple enough to carry off the yarn.
Yeah,
excellent.
So, when good knitting goes bad.
Right. So, this is back to my Jason's Tweed hat that I did for my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've made this before, and it looks fine. It's a beanie, right? I choose to change the pattern a little bit. I make a longer brim, because everybody that I know likes to have a brim that folds up.
Mm-hmm.
So, they have the option of also having it fold down. Cover their ears, especially if it's really, really cold and windy. No problem. So, I cast it on. It's a little bit bulkier than the pattern calls for, so but I'm like, whatever, it's going to be fine. Yeah.
So does the pattern normally call for, like, a worsted or something?
No, it's, like, a bulky.
Okay.
Or Aran, right? Like, in that. Yeah, in that area.
But I don't know if I would consider an Aran a bulky. Isn't an Aran usually it depends on your ply?
It depends on your gauge.
Yeah, I guess so.
So.
And you're usually a tight knitter, right?
So and I'm a tight knitter, so I'm like, this will be okay, right? Because the tightness, I usually have to go up a size, up a size if I have to do anything. Yeah. I'm like, this will be fine. So I cast on and I start going. And I start going and I keep going. And about halfway through the brim, I'm thinking, this looks awfully large. I didn't do a gauge swatch or anything, people. You need to understand this. I will gauge swatch for a sweater, but for a hat, apparently I find that just takes too much time. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this is really big looking. So I asked my husband. I'm like, does this look like it'll, you know, like it'll fit Luke? It's like, oh, yeah, he's got a big head, and he has a lot of hair.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. So I just keep going. And then, so then I'm knitting the body of the hat. And I'm like, this looks really, really big. But whatever, I'm already invested this much into it. I'm just going to keep going. And so I asked my husband again. And it's totally not his fault because I was in heavy denial at this point. Does this look really big? Like, it looks really big. No, he has a really big head. He has a really big head. Okay, sure. So I keep knitting. Da-da-da-da. Yeah. Get to the part. Weave in all my ends. The thing is huge. It is. Yeah. It is a ginormous hat. This, and then I thought, I even tried to felt the thing because I'm like, at this point, felting could only make it better.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the yarn I chose was mostly nylon and acrylic, and only about 7% wool, and it didn't work.
You know what I tried like about it? As I wish everybody could see it, but I'm currently wearing the hat, and it's. That character off of Fat Albert as we were kids, what was his name? Did we figure out what his name was?
Well, there was two. There was Mushmouth.
Yeah.
He wore a red hat, and then there was Donald, and he wore, like, the pink clam
hat. That came down, like, almost to cover his mouth.
Yeah, that's the hat I knit, only with no eye holes.
And it's gray.
And it's gray.
And it's a beautiful tweed. I really like the yarn, actually.
It is. It's a nice... There's nothing wrong with the yarn. There's nothing wrong with the pattern.
No.
But when you mix the two together... And, oh, I should also say that the pattern does say if you're going to use a larger yarn, you're going to need to either really scale back on your needles or cast on fewer stitches.
Very reasonable.
I did not take that advice at all. You don't even understand how much I didn't take this advice. It's huge. The thing is, and it's a bulky yarn, so you're like, oh, you can just double roll the brim. Well, you can, but then you end up with, like, this... honking hat on your head. Like, it's huge. It looks like a Cossack hat.
It's actually, you can totally tell it's a gauge problem and not a pattern problem because it's perfectly proportioned in its unusually large size.
Yes, it is a... If I knew someone... Like, I know people with big heads. Yeah. I know a lot of
Hey, I'm rocking a monster melon. Yeah. And this is big.
But it would be big on everyone. Like, I don't know anyone with a head big enough. Maybe Shaquille O'Neal. I wonder if he needs a hat. Does he have a big head? He has big feet.
He's a big dude.
If he has a big head, maybe I'll send it to him.
Yeah. Well, because I was thinking...
So, Shaq, if you're listening...
We could fit your cat in this.
We could fit a baby in that. We could
fit a baby in it. Because it's like a baby
cocoon. We could put two babies in that. I'm pretty sure two small babies, you know, 7-8 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they would fit.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You're fitting
together.
Two.
In there, like it's a huge hat. Like, so
I put it on, and I don't double fold the brim, and the bottom of the brim comes down to my chin.
We have pictures that we'll post.
Oh, maybe.
So I brought this. I have pictures of myself. I'll post it with it on me. So I brought it over to my mom's house because I was going to give it to my brother, and my mom's like, "Oh, so you're just gonna." You know, undo it. I'm like, no. I'm not undoing it. I'm like, do you know how long this took me to make? Not long enough that I'm willing to undo it.
Yeah.
So, yay for super bulky yarn. It was a fast knit. It only took me about 4 hours to make a giant hat. Shaquille O'Neal, if anyone knows you out there.
Do you know what it'd be awesome for?
What?
To put on top of a motorcycle or a dirt bike helmet. Like, if you put
a big... Would you need a knitted hat on top of a helmet?
That would be awesome! Or if you've got a kid... Well, mind you, it'd have to be a pretty big, like, hockey helmet or skating helmet or something, because it would come down and cover the ears. But it would be sweet. We should put a bobble on this, and I'll wear my dirt bike hat and put this on.
I think it's been confiscated. My husband's going to wear it during ice fishing. He's going to wear his...
He can now layer it.
Yes! No wind will get through that. Not because it's... Not because it's felted, but because it's double rolled. Because it needs to be.
But it actually, it's beautiful yarn. And you said, I think it was like a Red Heart or something?
No, it was Lion's Brand.
Is it Lion's Brand?
Yep. And it was, like, it's just a, I bought it when I first began my knitting career, like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. A, because I had no idea about anything about yarn. And B, because I liked the tweed look.
It's beautiful, actually. And like, if you could have felted it, it would have been beautiful.
Oh, if I could have felt like that, I'm going to... See, now this has spurred something positive out of this giant hat, is now I want to try making a hat giant like that on purpose and then felting it with different yarn, because I'm going to have to. So my next purchase, I'm going to run out to Michael's at some point.
Yeah.
Buy some 100% wool that'll felt. And super bulky. I'm going to repeat the entire thing, because now I know how big it is before felting. And then I'm going to see how big it is after felting. Because after it felts, if it doesn't fit me, it'll fit someone.
Yeah, it'll either be too big and it goes to your husband, and it'll be too small and it goes
to a kid.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's a great idea.
So that's what I'm going to do. I've done the pre-homework of felting. I'm going to pretend that was on purpose. And I'm going to do a felted hat, because I just want to try it out.
That's great. It's beautiful. Unfortunately, it's freakishly large.
If you have a freakishly large head, and you want to do a really big hat that'll fit your head,
yeah,
this is the pattern and the yarn to do it with.
Do you think the yarn's still available?
Oh, I'm sure it is. It is. I've seen it there.
Is it? Okay.
Since.
That's sweet.
It's not discontinued.
I like the yarn.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And obviously, if I made a sweater out of it, it wouldn't felt.
It won't felt. That's the good news.
Yeah.
I put it on the dryer on high heat.
Yeah.
It was warm when it came out.
And not a bit felt.
Maybe it was a little bit smaller. I might have shrunk it a little bit.
Yeah.
My mom offered her skills, because she's the queen of shrinking everything. I had to take over my laundry at home because she kept shrinking everything I owned.
Oh.
Like t-shirts were all of a sudden like belly up to shirts. My belly button. I'm like, this t-shirt's supposed to be long. Ah. So I had to take it over. She's like, I don't even think you could fix this or ruin it.
So, stuff you're watching on the internet.
Do you want to start with this? Because I just went on a long tirade about my hat.
No problems. So, obviously, everybody, I'm sure, is aware of the Olympics happening right now over in Sochi, Russia. And I was watching the men's slope-style snowboard.
Okay.
Which is amazing. Like, it is so dangerous. These kids have got to be... they must be really good, because... You're just watching them fly through the air at full speed, and it just looks so dangerous. As an adult, I'm going, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to shoot your eye out. And so I'm watching away with my husband, and I'm knitting, and obviously a little bit sick, so coming in and out of consciousness. And I look up, and they're at the top of the run, and I look in the background, and one of the coaches, and I've later looked and found out who it is, they're knitting in the background.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it was the Finland coach. Had, like, just these big, long, straight needles and, like, a white or a cream, and it just looked like garter stitch. But I was like, that's awesome.
See, even they've got a traveling project.
They do.
And they take it everywhere.
Literally everywhere. What were you doing at the Olympics?
Well, it's not... If it's not inappropriate to knit at the Olympics, it's not inappropriate to knit anywhere. I've decided.
That's awesome.
But that's pretty cool. I think I've seen a picture of that.
Yeah, so I... To figure out who it was, I just Googled Olympics knitting something or other. I can't remember. And it came up, and it's just... It's awesome. Like, I was like... Honey, you have to go back. There's knitting. And he's like, no, there isn't.
Reasons to rewatch the Olympics. Knitting. Yeah.
Knitting is happening at the Olympics.
As if knitting shouldn't be an Olympic sport.
I know, and knitting's happening on Ravelry, just to kind of touch base for everybody doing the Revelinic Games.
Yes. Not us.
Not us, unfortunately.
It's been a really crazy month for me, so I just can't do that.
I think... For me, if I'm going to do it, I have to be committed to it, you know, because it's not like Tour de Fleece where you're like, okay, I want to spend 10 minutes every day. It's, you're going to push yourself. You want to be the best, and like, I'm sorry, guys.
It's like training for the actual Olympics.
Yeah, like it's putting that Herculean effort
into it. Yeah, I didn't have it in me this time, unfortunately.
And if anybody's,
but if you do.
Yeah, good on you. You know, we're cheering for everybody, because good work, because
we can't do it.
And if you guys are on Twitter and you want a little giggle, go to hashtag Sochi Problems, and it is so funny. It is...
Unfortunately... There have been some infrastructure issues.
Yes.
And with regards to the Olympic venues and...
The housing of people.
And housing, yes.
And I gotta say, like, I will hand to God say I am entitled North American. You know, I haven't traveled the rest of the world.
Yeah.
My husband has, and and been to some, you know, third world countries and stuff like that. And I was telling him, like, oh, the Sochi problems. He goes, honey, that's how the rest of the world lives.
Yeah.
Not generalizing everybody, but that
we're very privileged.
We are very privileged. And but it's definitely worth a giggle. But go there, take it with a grain of salt. You know, hopefully people don't get it bent out of shape. But, you know, from a North American privileged perspective, it is hilarious.
Yes.
But then I think to myself, you know, the rest of the world is in Canada.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not. It really isn't.
But it's worth a giggle. Yes. So what are you watching?
Well, I just wanted to say that Canada at this point in time is doing very well at the Olympics. We've got four gold medals and 9 total. So yay us.
Yay. And I think and we're actually second place right now for the total medal standing.
For right now.
You know,
that can change.
I know. We tend to do well coming out of the gate, and
it tapers.
And it tapers.
I really hope we do well in hockey this year again, though.
See, and I'm a curling person.
Ooh. I can't stand curling. I am not a curling... Like, I'm not a big hockey person.
Yeah.
But I would... If I had to choose, it would be hockey over curling any day of the week.
See, for me, curling is strategy and luck. It's kind of the same thing for me for football. It's strategy. There's a component of strategy and there's a component of luck where...
I like Olympic hockey. I'm not as huge a fan of NHL hockey.
Do you think because of the propaganda machine for NHL and the moneymaker?
No, I think it's because a lot of people that I know watch NHL hockey for the fighting. But in Olympic hockey, you don't have that, and it's also on a bigger hockey rink.
Okay.
So I think that there's more... Not that NHL players aren't athletic, because let me tell you, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, me neither.
But I think there's more sportsmanship,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot more skating involved in Olympic hockey, and I appreciate that.
Oh, I appreciate you bringing that up, because I didn't know that there was less, like...
Do you know how I knew that there was less fighting in Olympic hockey?
Yeah.
Because somebody told me.
Sweet. Well, now you've told me, and I appreciate that. You've told our pod friends, so maybe they'll appreciate it as well, because... I don't like the fighting. Like,
yeah, I'm not. I'll watch. Yeah. I'll watch NHL hockey, especially if my team makes it to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually the only time I really watch it. or if I happen to be in a pub or a bar that has it on the
you'll watch it
on the
then, yeah.
show or on the TV. But really, eh,
yeah,
meh. But I was out with friends when Canada won the gold at the. Vancouver Olympics, I gotta say, and that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I guess when you take, for me, it's the big business and the money thing that I have a little bit of a hard time with. But if you're going based on country, you know, that's something to be proud of, even for any country to do well.
Oh,
you know, to say that your country is the best of the world at blah.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing. So we got to congratulate, you know, every country that's shown up. And the Jamaican bobsled team was there this year. And
heck yeah!
I've been to Jamaica and there's not a lot of snow. And so, you know, congratulations,
that's commitment
everybody.
To your sport.
Absolutely. Did you hear they had to crowdfund?
Yes.
They didn't have money to go to the Olympics and they crowdfunded. And I say good on you, you know. Like,
go Jamaica.
Go Jamaica.
Go bobsled team. That's awesome.
Sweet. So, okay, what are you watching?
So, I've recently started watching a TV series on Netflix called Community.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic premise is these 6 people get together and they form... Originally, their goal was they formed a study group.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy was doing it because he had a crush on this other girl. Anyways, but they formed a study group and they end up friends and they have crazy antics. It's not usually the kind of show that I watch. It's a lot more slapstick and... I'm not usually into that kind of show. But I find this show hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly because I've gone back to university at an slightly older age. And I can relate with a lot of these people, which is bizarre. And it's got Chevy Chase in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in season 1, episode 22, I don't know what the episode is called, but the character Britta is knitting.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other character, Jeff, comes up to her and says, "Hey, Britta.
Are you crocheting?"
No, 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 no. Says, "Hey, Britta, what you gonna knit-a?" And then I looked up from my knitting and I was like, "What?" And she was doing an eye patch for a shelter animal. is what it ended up being. But there you go. There was dating on Community. It was. I find the show hilarious. Like at first, the first two episodes, I was like, I don't know, but I stuck with it, and I've laughed a lot at this show.
Okay, so good recommendation for anybody that, you know, just needs to listen to something funny while they're knitting.
Yeah, it's not a very deep show, but I love it.
It's nice that you can watch it from the beginning, because I have a hard time getting into series that have been running a long time because I don't get the inside jokes.
Right. And that's, like, I saw an episode of this when I was visiting my sister-in-law, like, 3 years ago. And we watched an episode, and I was like...
This is the dumbest show ever.
I'm like, this is dumb. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Who
watches
this stuff? I didn't say anything to her, right? Because I'm at her house, and I don't want her to kick me out. But I'm just like, ugh. Not a big fan of this show. This show is kind of stupid. And they're trying to explain to me the show, and I'm like, this show is dumb. But if you can catch it on Netflix and start watching from the beginning, and like most pilot episodes, the first episode sort of sucks.
Yeah. To quote the Knitmore girls, what is it? 3 bites?
Yeah. So I gave it a couple of, you know, like, the episodes are, what, 21 minutes long? So I was like, psh, I can take an hour and watch. And I am glad I did. I'm now on season 2. And I'm enjoying it so much.
Sweet. Actually, that might be a good one to start watching. I actually, depending upon how my week's been going, I like slapstick humor. I like really dumb.
It says it's rated PG. I'm not convinced.
Oh.
It's not bad. Like, it's not terrible, but I don't know that I would watch it with a small child in the room.
Or maybe, like, 6, 8-year-old, where they might not...
If the jokes go over their head, you're fine.
Oh, okay.
You know, but they discuss... They're adults that are in community college.
Like, so they're discussing adult concepts, yes. And it might not be...
Entirely appropriate. Depends on the kid, right? I mean...
Okay.
But, and your circumstances and your own values.
Yeah.
Just going to throw that warning out there for you, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. So, Got Spinning is me, right?
Mostly about you, yes. You're actually talking about spinning.
You totally motivated me last podcast. Woo! You're like, I started spinning, and I was like, oh, I should start spinning.
Yes.
So, I actually, pulled my wheel out, got it all set up.
Excellent.
And I'm working on a Wool Gatherings colorway, and the Wool Gatherings colors are so... beautiful. They're saturated and they're bright, and I've decided to, I think it's called fractional spinning, where you separate all the colors and try and keep them as pure as you can.
Yep.
And so it's adding more prep time to a project than I would normally do. So it's,
which makes sense because you have to
so you're separating the colors to as pure as you can by hand, and then, you know, kind of pre-drafting a little bit just to fluff the fiber, and then spinning. But It's beautiful. I love it. If anybody gets a chance to get Wool Gatherings, or even go on Ravelry and look at their group, and just look at the colors if you need color inspiration for anything.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'll have to do that. I love looking at colors.
Me too. Ugh. I'm a rainbow person.
Mm-hmm. That's why my walls are not painted white.
Yay!
So that's awesome. So what are you going to do? Are you doing like a sock weight or a...
I don't know. Just my standard. I'm going to chain ply it, so Navajo.
Okay.
To get a 3-ply. And I think with my 3-ply, I'm about sport weight.
Oh,
okay. I haven't been able to really get down as fine as fingering with a 3-ply. I think if I went with a 2-ply, I could. But that's just a lot of work to do the 2-ply and to try and match the colors.
Yeah.
Because I'm going for something specific.
Yeah, because you're trying to keep it as pure as possible. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so I'm excited. And that was kind of, I think, part of my goals this year was to, you know, get rid of...
De-stash.
De-stash.
Before olds.
Turn my fiber stash into yarn. And then ideally use that fiber stash to make something.
Yes, that's part of your goals.
That's my ultimate goals, so...
For sure.
So actually getting my spinning wheel out and spinning for just a couple of minutes. Well, actually, it turned out to be a lot longer than a couple minutes because when I spin, I don't tend to look up a lot. I'm looking at my hands just as my natural position. And so I actually found that I've been listening, or when I did do it, listening to book on tape is awesome.
Yeah.
Because I'm not feeling this obligation to look up and check in with the TV all the time to see, okay, we're at this point, we're at this point.
Right.
You know, I can kind of just listen and tune out and tune back in. And I gotta say, if people have a chance, check your local library. The books on tape are included, at least in the Calgary library system, the books on tape are included with your membership.
And excellent.
Though there is the pressure, you only get it for 3 weeks.
So you gotta listen.
You gotta listen fast, and that's what I'm... Like, I've been listening to other podcasts, and they talk about the Audible...
Right.
You know, option, and but that's purchasing, and you get, you know, one book a month kind of thing, but you get to keep the book, and you listen to it at your own pace.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm feeling the pressure, like, oh, God, I gotta listen to this, because... I don't know if I can renew this if there's if somebody else has got a hold on it, right?
Yeah, then there's a problem with renewing it.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you know, if you need a cheap option, and
why not? If you wanted to know if you were thinking about purchasing and you're not sure if you like audiobooks, get them from your library, see if you like them, then make the decision.
Absolutely, I agree.
How about that?
That sounds good.
Okay. So here's my pro tip for spinning. Mm-hmm. I was gonna spin, but then I got this text at work from my husband saying, I have a story about a dog and a spinning wheel to tell you. And I'm like, and then he follows up the text with, it's really not that bad, but it's not good either. And I'm like, oh my God. So I call him right away, because I'm like, ah. Well, it turns out, so I had a bag, and in this bag with my orifice hook, which I also called my pulley thingy because I couldn't remember what it was called. Full disclosure, why not? And I had my little bottle of oil.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the coffee table, right?
Yeah.
The dog has never shown any interest to the spinning wheel. Spinning wheel's in my living room. She does not seem to care about this thing at all. My cat, however, when I'm spinning, he likes to play. If the orifice hook is hanging on the spinning wheel, because there's a little spot for that, on mine anyway, he likes to look at that, and I've yelled at him to not touch it, you know, and go away and all that other stuff that you tell your cat. Well... what we think happened, because nobody was home for this incident. My husband came home and caught them both in the, well, not really in the act. So I think what happened was the cat got on the coffee table, knocked over the bag, and then once the orifice hook started rolling on the floor, the dog was like, oh, it's a toy, it's on the floor, it's for me, and it's rolling, and the cat attacked the oil thing instead. And my husband said when he came home, the dog looked really, really guilty, which isn't very surprising because she looks guilty about anything.
Yeah.
Like, you just say her name and she looks like, oh, what did I do? So I'm not entirely convinced that the cat didn't have a large role in this.
Mm-hmm.
So leave it out of your pet's reach, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Like, thankfully, I don't think the oil would hurt the cat. Well,
there was not, like, he didn't puncture the...
It wasn't ravaged.
Bottle. No, but there was teeth marks in it, and it's been a couple of weeks now, and he's still alive.
Okay, so perfect.
He's okay, and there's a slow leak in the bottle now, and I tested this because I just put it on a napkin, and sure enough, it came back later, and there was a little ring.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get myself a new little squirt bottle thing.
And is your orifice hook salvageable?
Oh, yeah, it's got some teeth marks now on the wood part, but
okay,
it's not, like, chewed to heck or anything. It's perfectly serviceable. A little sandpaper, and my husband will have it fixed.
Yeah,
that's what he just said, in case you couldn't hear him. But he wanted to be famous on the internet. I think he's been waiting for a while to have something to say.
I'm famous.
Yes,
I've been known to use items around the house to substitute as an orifice hook because my my 1980s Ashford Traditional did not come with an orifice hook, so I. Toys used to come encased in the packaging in wire that was bendable, and you'd do the twist at the back.
Yes.
Those make amazing orifice hooks.
Do they?
Because they're sturdy.
I hate toys like that.
You know? But the little, like a twist tie, is sturdy and it's firm and it makes an amazing...
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
MacGyvering it all the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I've got.
That's me, too. So join us at our blog at knittingastory.wordpress.com.
You can join us at Facebook at Knitting a Story.
Our Ravelry at Knitting a Story podcast. I'm Jen's account, JennsAccount.
And I'm Beloved of Bast, BelovedOfBast. And I just wanted to add, right before we forget, because I was going to mention this earlier and I forgot, I started on our podcast Ravelry group. I started a thread about giveaways and promotions and stuff like that. So if you're a member of the group, and you come across, you know, like a really great deal or whatever, come post it there for the rest of us to see. And that'll entice everyone to come on our pod, on our group.
That's a great idea, because we had that pay it forward one, right?
Right. And I thought, well, you know, if people weren't in that same group, they missed out. So I've already posted something there. Excellent for 40% off.
Ooh.
People, 40% off. I'm just saying, it goes until the 15th of February. Check it out. I've included links and everything.
Perfect. That sounds like a great Valentine's present for yourself.
Yep, or for someone you love.
Excellent. All right, guys, have a good 2 weeks.
Have a good one.